It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. I think that the whole thing, Rachel, is this podcast, and this is like kind of off the record, but maybe it's on the record. This, we are recording this podcast during unprecedented times, which is in the times in which Taylor Swift is a mad woman, mad in the scientific sense. Like she is just throwing me for so many loops and I cannot keep up, and this podcast cannot keep up. So we are going to do everything we can to keep up with it and still, you know, maintain relevancy by the time these episodes come out. So
yeah,
we're gonna just play it by
cut. That was our opening scene. And here's where I say, welcome to Swift and Swigs. This is a very special emergency episode that Sam and I are just coming up with on the fly. And we are so glad, Swiggies, that you are here, excited to listen to us talk about late breaking news like
SOS. Somebody help me, please.
Sam, is this our third Taylor Tea Time? I mean, this would be episode...
It's a... Something. I think it's the fourth Taylor Tea Time. I think we've done three.
Okay. Well, so anyway, whatever that means, this has been quite the year, is what you're saying, Sam. And it's just gonna keep going. All right, Swiggies, let's get into this. And just in case you just happened upon our podcast and just like pop this in, you're like, what's going on? What's going on with Taylor? Sam, let's paint the picture about like where we are. We are 24 hours post Grammys, correct?
Yes. Grammys 2024 has happened. It was our yesterday. And we were clowning. Okay, that's just the number one thing to say here is everybody in the Swift universe was clowning over something that didn't actually happen, but we knew something was going to happen. I don't think anybody expected what did happen to happen, and I'm still really confused by the whole situation and overwhelmed and emotional and excited. I have many emotions.
Those are a lot of emotions, but zero facts. So let's start filling in some facts. Okay. So we know we're post-Grammys. Okay. What happened? So we've in the last month, 2 months, however long, the Swifties have been anticipating the arrival of Reputation Taylor's version. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. It has been given to us in the form of Easter eggs, in the form of clues, in the way that Taylor dresses, in the songs that she plays during secret song moments on the Eras Tour, in the Time magazine article, in the things that she's talked about, and just kind of the order of events. We only have two Taylor's versions left. That would be Reputation and Debut. And poetically, hint, hint, poetically, it would make sense to end for her to release Debut Taylor's version last. So we're all just assuming Reputation Taylor's version is next. We've got Midnights a year and a half ago. She's put out the new stuff. We've loved every minute of it. We've won Grammys over it. We've won awards. It's been an iconic moment. It's been an era. But we have been ready to shift into a new era, and I think we all collectively were hoping, assuming, praying, wishing that it was Reputation Taylor's version. And when she showed up on the red carpet last night, by the way, Rachel, You and I were texting. Did you end up watching it live, like the red carpet moment? Because there was some anxiety building over where is Taylor? When is Taylor? What is Taylor? Who is Taylor? And it was like 4 minutes to go before the show starts.
Right.
That she makes her appearance. I think she did that last year too. That's just like
Oh, did she? I was curious if that was just her MO. See, this is all new to me. I didn't even watch the Grammys last year. I can't remember what was going on. Something was going on. I had an emergency read a book to a child situation. The one child who was not going to be invited to watch the Grammys, and we were keeping it a secret from the other from him that the other two were staying up. So 5 minutes to go, he was like freaking out and joining us. I'm like, this is not going to happen. You're not going to interrupt my Grammy moment. So it was like, I'll just, whatever. We haven't seen Taylor yet. It's fine. She's probably not going to make the red carpet. So I go upstairs, I read, and then I come downstairs, and the kids are like, we just saw Taylor. So then I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. So she's arriving.
She did show up on the red carpet minutes to spare before the show started. And I was expecting. I had assumptions that because she was nominated six times for her album Midnights, at some point she would win an award, whether it was Album of the Year or Song of the Year or whatever, and she would take the stage and make the announcement. Because there were clues, Rachel. The morning of, Taylor Swift's Instagram profile went black and white, which to us means reputation. It did yesterday, at least. And then,
and this had Taylor been going Swift's on website, for some time, right? Like with other in her friend's circle, like different people had been turning their profiles into
this
black
is
and
true.
White.
This is true. Yes, her like closest circle of friends, also Instagram profiles, have gone black and white in recent weeks. And Taylor's finally went black and white yesterday, and we're all just like, oh, she, like when she changes something on her Instagram, we know it is intentionally done for an era's shift. And because it was black and white and all the clues already led to reputation, we just assumed, and based on what she did to announce Midnights when she accepted the award at the VMAs in 2022, she announced it then, we kind of just assumed this would be her platform. If she wins an award tonight, she would take the stage and announce Reputation Taylor's version. So anyways, going back to the red carpet, she shows up in a beautiful white gown with long black gloves. Her hair was braided and styled in a way that looked just like the cover of Reputation. She had chokers. That is also what she was wearing on the cover of Reputation. I mean, everything about it was so Reputation-coded.
Taylor Swift-styled kind of connected it to the Look What You Made Me Do video when she's in the bathtub with diamonds. That's what, like, her hair, her swept to the side hair and multiple layers of jewelry, particularly that choker. It was giving,
I mean, it was
very,
all just
much
giving
much
Reputation.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, I mean, she looked great. It was amazing to finally see her. And it was just one more clue leading us to, oh, I think we're getting Reputation Taylor's version announcement tonight.
You also didn't mention the error code.
Okay.
On
so
her
then
website.
Her website also, you went to her website, Day of Grammys, and there was this error code that was very suspicious and didn't take long for the deep dark Swifties to totally analyze this error code on her website and realize that there were, first of all, it was black and white. There was this thing that said error code 321 DPT. And then there were all these like language translations, which people
DPT,
were translating.
Sam.
Yes, I know, Rachel. So there were all these language translations, but of course we didn't know what any of this meant. And then, you know, okay. So those were the incidents leading us up to
and we were told, like, and one of the words was like an anagram to the word red herring, which red herring is like
true
a clue to that, like, distracts you from the reality. And so so like one of the thoughts that I kept thinking of is like, while we're watching the Grammys, she's gonna drop something on her website, she's gonna drop something on Instagram, she's just, while we're just casually watching it, she's just gonna drop it with no announcement. So like, you thought there would be an announcement. That part didn't occur to me, because I was like, well, how does she know she's gonna win? She can't like plan an announcement if she doesn't know she's gonna win. She knew with the VMAs when she announced Midnights that she was gonna win, so it was easy to plan that, but she couldn't plan this announcement.
Why do you think she knew at the VMAs that she was gonna win?
I thought that she did. I thought that was like an award she already knew. Am I making that up?
I don't know for a fact, but I think that either way, I mean, for one, you could say Taylor knew she was going to win one of the awards.
Because she's Taylor.
Because of how iconic Midnights was.
Yeah.
She was favored to win. But the other thing was, I think she's been wanting to announce this thing that we still haven't talked about yet. But and with her going on tour, back to tour this week, and we know she loves to make an announcement during the Eras Tour, the surprise song set. I assumed she was planning on announcing it this week, regardless of whether it was on the stage of the Grammys or not.
Right.
But, okay, so what ended up happening, and I don't know if anyone's listening to this doesn't actually know. I know our mom listens, and maybe mom doesn't really know what's
it's
happening.
It's okay,
it's so
fun.
Maybe
we're only
telling this for our mom.
Yeah, but it's fun to reenact. It's like when you talk about, like, big moments in your lives, like, where were you? Like, this is fun to, like, lay it out there, because it's, I feel I kind of blacked out since, you know, 7:30 p.m. or whatever that was, 8 p.m. that it happened. So this is helpful for me to, like, remind myself what happened, because I personally blacked out. Okay, keep going.
So the award comes for the nominations for Best Pop Vocal Album. This is still within like the first half of the Grammys. A lot has happened. A lot is still yet to come, which, by the way, we can talk about the Grammys as a whole. But first, let's just focus on what really matters here.
Right.
And so the award goes to Taylor for Best Pop Vocal Album for Midnights. We clapped. We applauded.
Yeah.
I was with my friends, Ali, Bob, and Cole, in their house, and I had already given them the preface. I said, if Taylor wins anything tonight, we are getting an announcement. I know it. I feel it.
So everybody be quiet.
The room. Everybody be quiet. And I shushed the room. And sure enough, she goes into her speech, of course, saying, thank you. This is my 13th Grammy.
Yeah. First of all, let me just interrupt you for a second. I'm going to let you finish. But I don't think I put together that this was going to be, if she won, it was going to be her 13th Grammy. I don't think we even like talked about that. And Elliot was like, oh, she's already won 12 Grammys. If she wins tonight, it'll be her 13th. And I was like, how do you know? And he was like, I did a report on Taylor Swift. I'm like, she should have brought you on as an expert. And I had to Google it.
Yes,
like,
it was her
13th.
Yeah. It was her 13th Grammy, and she didn't miss a moment to announce
that
when she was on stage.
She
and then,
did
of course,
not.
She said, I want to thank my fans. And as a way to thank you, and that's when. When.
Everyone just froze.
She said, I've got a little secret. And the secret is something I've been keeping for two years. This is when I was like, wait. What is it? Reputation, Taylor's Version? What is happening?
Yeah.
What is going on right now?
Right.
And then, and she's sure to take breaks after everything she says. And then she goes, that my brand new album, pause, let me react. Thank you for doing that, Taylor. I am freaking the heck out.
Yeah.
Are you watching live in this moment, Rachel? You are, right?
Yeah, I was watching
live. You were done reading your children's book.
Yes, I'm live.
Okay. And then she says that her brand new album is out April 19th. Hello, that's like 2 months away.
5 days after my birthday.
Yes, I figured we would talk about that. Yes, of course. It is your birthday album, We are so excited for you, Rachel. Okay. But finally, I'm getting to the point here.
Yeah.
The brand new album out April 19th is called, I still get confused by what it's called.
Tortured Poets Department.
I want to say thank you to the fans by telling you a secret that I've been keeping from you for the last 2 years, which is that my brand new album comes out April 19th. It's called The Tortured Poets Department.
It is the longest album title we've had. I mean, she has gone on this like one word album name streak for so long. And so I still have not been able to process, first of all, this information that she just dropped on us. Second of all, the name of this album. And it is such a head scratcher to me.
Yep.
And boom, mic drop, that was it. And I lost my ever-loving mind, Rachel.
Yep, same. I swore in front of my kids. I threw my phone. I laid down on the ground. It was so dramatic. I didn't see that coming. Nobody saw it coming. That freaking lady.
I think what's been fun today is I've watched all the reaction videos from Swifties who were filming themselves during this moment because they kind of had they knew something was going to happen, or they were hoping at least. And collectively, myself included, you included, we were all just like, wait, what?
What?
Because nobody expected it. And it makes sense. Every time Taylor does something, we're always like, oh, okay, we should have seen the signs.
Right.
Here's why it makes sense, Rachel. Yes. Because to me, I have reasons why it does and doesn't make sense. It makes sense because there's this pattern that she's done where she releases two re-records and then a brand new album. And then two re-records, and then now this is her brand new album. And then maybe after this album comes out, then she'll release two re-records and then Taylor Swift 12th studio album. So in that sense, it makes sense. I don't think that the Easter eggs were giving us Tortured Poets Department. I think she intentionally wanted us to believe that Reputation Taylor's version is next, is being worked on, is underfoot. But this really came out of nowhere. I don't think, maybe it's just too fresh. We haven't fully studied it well enough yet. We haven't seen the signs, if there were any, that we were getting this like album that we don't know anything about right now. Well, we know a couple of things. So that's the news. And we have just been processing ever since. Rachel, what are your thoughts on this new album, Tortured Poets Department? Where do we begin discussing that?
As soon as I got the words, the name of the album, I just started crying because the words
everything.
I know. That was a little surprise. But like every single one of my writer friends, we just texted each other like, this is for us. And obviously like, no, it's for everybody. But like, there's just something about the acknowledgement of Taylor as like a poet and a writer and just like that tortured soul. Like I immediately connected to it. And so I was just like so excited about that part of it. Then reading, okay, so then she posted to her Instagram the album cover and these lines of, I'm guessing as a song, my guess it's a song entitled Tortured Poets Department. And the words are stunning, of course. So I'm just super peaked about that. Like I just like so excited. But I also, okay, here's an admittance. As like, I remember as Speak Now was coming out and then as 1989 was coming out, I was like, this is so great.
Taylor's version.
This is so great to get new music. And also like, I don't know. I kind of just want to sit in Midnights for a little bit. Like, this is like so much, okay? And then now I have to process a whole new album when I'm like, I'm so soon. So I'm excited. Of course I'm excited, but I'm a little bit overwhelmed by the idea of new music coming so quickly when I'm already anticipating rep music that I'm already excited about. So I don't even know. I don't know how to feel.
It just goes to prove that Taylor Swift is an unstoppable machine, like right now especially, but in terms of her entire career. She put out it, by the time this new album comes out, it'll have only been 1.5 years since the last album came out, Midnights, right, which to me felt so deep and profound that to me I thought, like, wow, it must have taken her so long and so much effort and so exhausting to build that album. And here she is, like, not even 2 years later. I mean, we get that with Folklore and Evermore. Those are basically back-to-back albums following Lover, which came out, like, 8 months before that. It's just crazy that she is just on this trajectory of make, 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 create, create, create. It's funny that we got this news on the coattails of us releasing our episode on This Is Me Trying, where we just discussed how we, as a fandom, maybe push her too far to create music, and like it's an addiction for her. But she said in her speech last night, well, we haven't gotten to the second part of this news,
but she said in
one of her speeches last night,
really blew me away,
her second speech, that she, like, making music makes her so happy, and she's obviously very good at it. So I guess we shouldn't be that surprised that it's only been 1.5 years since the last album came out that we already have this. Let's talk about the fact that she said this has been an album 2 years in the making. Yes. 2 years ago, we didn't even know Midnights was even a thing.
I know. Now, you know, granted, she could be like rounding up. Like, it's been 2 years. It was 2022. And
no, I think it's an exact 2 years.
You think it's an exact two years, Rachel. Give me it.
Okay, so let's put together the facts that we have. When we got You're Losing Me on streaming,
yes,
Jack Antonoff posted that they wrote that song at the end of 2021. That initially had us wondering, well, what's the timeline for when she wrote Midnights? And to me, that gives me the impression that they wrapped up Midnights writing and recording at the end of 2021.
Yes.
Which would then make way for her to start writing this new album at the beginning of 2022, which is 2 years ago. So I think she's just, at this point, writing these albums so far ahead and putting a lot of thought into the editing, the rollout, the timing, the announcements, the dates of the announcements are so significant. The dates of the releases are significant. I think that she finished Midnights and then she began working on this, which is an interesting thought to think of. Like, what is going to be the theme of this new album? Is it post-Midnights Taylor? Is it a breakup album? Is it also maybe a continuation? I want to shout out the Swiftologist, who has a YouTube channel, and I watched his reaction in his video today, and he made a good point where I think Folklore and Evermore were so meaningful for Taylor that she wanted to do maybe even a third one off of that to follow up Evermore, but she knew she wanted to tour, and nothing sells a tour better than a pop hit album. So therefore she decided to put out this concept of Midnights right before the Eras tour. That way it builds hype and it builds excitement, and there's going to be a really fun Midnights moment of the Eras tour. But maybe deep down, she's been wanting to have a continuation of this Folklore Evermore type of vibe. So that's one theory about what the vibe of the poet's album is going to be. Maybe the sound is similar. We don't know what it's going to sound like. Just like Midnights, we also didn't know anything other than the track lists.
Yeah, like, and a lot of people are taking her, like, album cover and being like, oh, this looks like it's going to be an album that sounds like XYZ. And then some people were saying, remember, we all thought we knew what Midnight's Wind was going to sound like based on the imagery we were given before, and it didn't really match up with that. Like, people were thinking maybe like 70s, whatever, I don't know, like rock kind of whatever. We didn't really get that. I'm wondering, Sam, do you think this is going to sound like jazz?
I mean, I can only hope so.
I mean, you called it out.
The album is cover itself. That picture is giving sultry and intimate. And to me, that is jazz. I don't know. I mean, that's like my hope, is that she does a jazz album. I just don't know if that would be the best decision for her career, because I think it's such a farly, it's not a very obtainable genre for most people. Now, if she mixed jazz with contemporary, with
kind of like
a little bit of pop,
false god-ish kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Little old-timey Christmas tree farm. Like,
I mean, you know, I'm hoping for some saxophone.
I mean, this is going to be so fun. Like, we're just going to spend so much time, like, speculating the way that we did. Sam, I am so excited. I mean, okay, I'm just, like, realizing this now, okay? Because I've been, like, overwhelmed by new music. But, like, we get to record, not just, like, we've been recording and anticipating an album releases with 1989 and with Speak Now. But this feels different. Like, this is, like we get to live stream our like, experience of leading up to an entirely new album with no clue. Like, all those other albums, we kind of had an idea of what kind of music we were going to get.
Yes.
And it was, and it didn't surprise us. Like, it like satisfied exactly what we anticipated hearing. And this is like a whole new world, and I'm overwhelmed and I'm excited. And I mean, we get to do it together. So, like, this is so great.
Yes. That's why I mean, it goes back to my very first point, is that the fact that you and I have a podcast now, this is the first new music release that we can discuss, new album release that we can discuss since the dawn of our podcast. And speaking of dawn, yes, that is your middle name. And this album comes out 5 days after your birthday. And what a nice birthday treat for you, Rachel.
I already bought the vinyl. I was in the 20-minute
yes,
queue for the vinyl. The bonus track is called Manuscript. Hello. Like, I'm telling you, all the writers are like, we're freaking out, okay? This is just like, it's going to be so good. I was thinking about, you know, you were talking about the timeline. And I was trying to think, like, okay, so it is, like you said, it really is possible that she wrote this in early 22, because I guess we all kind of assume she was writing Midnights in early 22, and maybe she was, some of it, but what else was she doing in early 22? Like, I'm trying to think, like, was she promoting?
She was quiet. No, we didn't get much
from
her.
She Phil? Was off. We didn't get much from her, right?
Yeah, she was shortly off of the release of Red Taylor's Version. So she did a couple of interviews.
Here and there, popping here and there,
Really, the only thing we got from her, I think if my memory serves me, the first thing was her NYU commencement speech, which wasn't until May. And in that, she was dropping Easter eggs for Midnights, which would make sense because that was the next thing to come. But there was another thing. I don't know if you remember seeing this paparazzi photo of her. It was taken on February 8th, 2022, and she was leaving Electric Lady Studios, which is, of course, Jack Antonoff Studios. She was holding a keyboard and a fat notebook of oh God, we speculated. We were like, what would it take to get our hands on that notebook? And that was exactly 2 years ago, Rachel. And that's what makes me think that was a recording session for this new album that we just didn't know about until yesterday. We don't know, and we probably will never know. And if I can just be an honest Swiftie really quickly.
Do it.
I know that it's really fun to be thrown for a loop, and I think that Taylor really enjoys it, but I'm actually, like, so exhausted. So I just
100.
Wish some point we could just get a little bit of more clarity and be less driven down a deep, dark spiral, because it is just exhausting over here. Trying to figure out the timeline, trying to put the pieces together. What is an Easter egg? What is fact? What is theory? I know that that is just being part of a Swiftie, and that is the fun of it, but golly, it is exhausting out here, Rachel.
It really is. It really is.
We will be elaborating, as Taylor likes to do, the rollout for a new album. We get a little bit of information here and there. And it is possible that, like Midnights, we're not going to get a single release, that we won't get much information about the sound or who's involved. We might get track listings. So I think, I mean, this conversation will continue week by week as we record new episodes of our podcast.
Yeah.
And the tough thing that you and I have to do, Rachel, is when we get new information, we're not allowed to talk about it unless we're recording it on our podcast. So
I know
we're going to have to do our best.
And Swiggies, we recognize, Sam and I are already having our own department head meeting before this episode, before recording our episode. And you know, it's not a secret that he and I record a couple weeks ahead. This is how we stay on top of our editing calendar. And it worked for a while, and we're recognizing that there may be a lot more late-breaking news that we just can't wait to tell you. So if it bugs you, let us know. We're going to try to shift some things around so we can bring you some of that information and our hot takes a little quicker than, like, 2 or 3 weeks down the road. So yes, Sam and Rachel, yes, aren't coming in sounding like like the idiots who don't understand, because if you're going to listen to later on episodes coming up, and we're going to be speculating about the Grammys.
Rachel, and stop.
What?
We have breaking news.
Stop it. Yes, stop it right now. I'm sorry.
My phone is out. I couldn't not look at it. I'm so sorry. I have to interrupt you.
Shoot. Okay. What trouble. What's going on?
We have a track list.
Oh my God, my heart is racing. Are you kidding?
We have
track list? We have featured artist, Sam. What is going on? Oh my God. This has never happened. We have never had late breaking news in the middle of recording.
How do we do this? Do we just...
Okay, I don't have my phone with me, so you're just going to have to...
We just looked this up, right?
Wait. Oh, so you haven't seen it. You just heard news of it.
I have a text. Do you want to read the text? Do you want me to read you the text? And then we can go from there.
Yes, give me everything. Yes.
This is from my Swiftie friend, Sarah. She goes, Post Malone? ? Florence? ?
And the machine?
I'm assuming. Rachel.
Sam.
Rachel. Rachel.
What?
Rachel, I have information for you.
Okay. Read it slowly. Just like give it to me slowly.
Okay. So Taylor Swift has posted
a Taylor, picture. What are you doing?
I don't know what the fuck she's doing, Rachel.
Breathe.
It's black and white. It's sepia tone. It is the color scheme that we're getting with this album. Okay. And there's a lot of words on this post. So, all right, bear with me here.
Okay.
It says, "I love you. It's ruining my life." Wow. Okay. And then if you turn.
Wait, that's a title. That's a track.
Sideways. I don't know. It just know. Says that? Like, can you just. You just want to, like, pull up your phone, too.
Oh, God. Okay. I'll pull it up on the intranet. We've got. No, I just like you reading it to me. I like you reading it to me.
Okay.
I'll find it, though.
It says, I can't see it. It's too hard to read it. It says.
Well, I'm pulling it up on the computer so I can see it large.
File name, the manuscript.
Yes. Okay. I knew about that. Oh, my God.
There's. She breaks it down side A, side B, side C, and side D. I think I need to go to the website, Rachel.
It's ruining my life. I can't read it.
High enough resolution.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, wait. Oh, I got it, Sam. Oh, I got it. Okay. Side A, side B, side C, side D. Okay, here's side A. Fortnite. Parentheses featuring Post Malone. The Tortured Poets Department. Third track. My boy only breaks his favorite.
Time out. Is track two the Tortured Poets Department?
Yes.
No featured artist?
No featured artist. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Track three?
Track three. I mean, they're not labeled, but it's like hyphen, so I'm assuming that's what it means.
Yeah.
Track or like backslash. Track three, My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, featuring, no features. Track four, Down Bad. Track five, So Long London. Oh God, Sam. Okay, track five, But Daddy, I Love Him.
Oh no. Oh no. Rachel, wait a minute.
Did
she really use the word daddy in a track five title?
But daddy, I love him. As track
Rachel,
five.
What is happening with this album? What is going to happen?
Okay, this is going so slowly. Okay, track six. Fresh out the slammer. What the? Are we being punked? Is this not April Fool's Day?
That's like honestly been the whole like thought this whole time is just like, is this actually real? I feel like this isn't real.
It's not April Fool's Day. Like,
fresh out the slammer?
Fresh out the slammer. Tracks.
Okay, so far we only have Post Malone, right?
Yep. But I'm getting there. Okay, track seven, Florida. !! Featuring Florence the Machine. Florence and the Machine.
Florida with three exclamation marks?
Yes.
Featuring Florence and the Machine? What a brilliant collaboration. What in a collaboration
I didn't even think of that. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to keep going. Okay. Next song. Guilty as Sin ?
Oh my God.
We have so many question marks. Okay. Next song. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me ?
Oh my God. So many questions.
Okay. Next song. Oh God. Okay. I Can Fix Him ? No, really, I can.
Wait, what? That's my favorite. That's my favorite one. That's my favorite.
It's not Fresh Out the Slammer?
I don't know either.
Sam, oh my gosh. Okay. I Can Do It With a Broken Heart.
What is it? Taylor, what is it? What can you do?
Oh my God.
I mean, we know she can. She does it always with a broken heart.
Oh my God. Okay, the next song. The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived.
What? Oh my God. What?
I don't know what that means. Rachel. I don't know what Rachel. This means.
Oh my God. This is absolutely a breakup album.
Oh, Okay.
It is absolutely a breakup album.
Totally. Okay,
are
next
you
song.
Kidding me?
We're almost there, Sam. The Alchemy.
You know, that is giving Big Red Machine.
Uh-huh.
And like
uh-huh.
Alcott
is Renegade, what I was thinking
of immediately. Which was a hunch that I had about this album.
Yeah, we don't have them listed as a okay. We're done with featured artists, Sam. We're down to last song other than the bonus track. Last song is Clara Bow. That's two words. Capitalized, of course, as if it's a name.
Clara Bow is the closing track. Rachel, we just got the track listing for the Tortured Poets Department. What is happening? What do we do with this information? Here's my initial thoughts. It's definitely a breakup album, but it is a strong breakup album. It is not Red.
Oh my gosh!
It is not Red in the sense that she is like, these are just my initial thoughts, right? Where I just feel like she is just strong now. Like she's had her heart broken so many times, and what we kind of think we know about Joe is that he is small. And she is big and bejeweled. And this is going to be a badass bitch energy type of album. I don't know if sonically it's going to give that. But, okay. Malone leads off track one. I have never in my life been more excited for a track one. How do we even cope with this information, Rachel? What do we do?
I think we need to let this sit, Sam. We need to let this sit, but
I can't believe this happened live on air.
I know. But this is remarkable. This is great. This is so fantastic. We're going to spend the next few months. Was there fear of it being leaked? Do you think? Like, was there something?
I love that it's only been 24 hours and she's already given us the track listing, Rachel. This is gonna be a freaking rollout. This is what we want. We want.
Yeah.
We want the tea. We want everything. Midnight was not giving me enough, and this is already giving me everything.
Can I say? I didn't expect the girl to do this before the Super Bowl.
Rachel, like, we don't know what to expect anymore, do we?
I want to say she's stealing the spotlight, but, like, she already is in the spotlight for the Super Bowl, right? She's brilliant. She always thinks through these things. Obviously, she would not just, like, surprise Travis, be like, oh, hey, guess what? I threw out an album out there. Like, I think, I'm sure this was a conversation that she had with him. She doesn't need to run it by him anyway. Yeah. She makes her own career. Like,
This is her career. This is her trajectory. Yes. This is her path.
There's a reason
for it. What a power couple. Again, this week is everything for this couple. Are you kidding me, Rachel?
It's insane. I need to let these words sit. It's very satisfying because I think we're getting our breakup album and not just like a pretend breakup album that we didn't know Open Nights was. Like, this is really gonna be deep, but it's gonna be so good, I think, I hope. Outside of Taylor Swift, I have just so many thoughts and feelings about everything that we experienced at that Grammys and, you know, some critiques, of course, because it's the Grammys, but mostly like so many great moments celebrating music and art and just the artist. It's the artists themselves. So, Sam, did you have some favorite moments of the night outside of Taylor Swift's big moment?
Absolutely, I did, Rachel. I have been like hoping that Tracy Chapman would make some sort of a comeback. And when she, now, and I, when we did the episode with Kate, she said that her new shit that week was Luke Combs' version of Fast Car. And it, as great as that cover is, I've had some opinions on that because I just love Tracy Chapman's version of Fast Car, and I don't think it can be touched or it should be touched. So never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that Tracy Chapman would actually show up and take the stage to perform with Luke Combs. And that to me was the most moving part of the entire night, because that song is so deep, so powerful, so meaningful, so iconic, so legendary. And we haven't seen Tracy Chapman in so many years. In fact, that was like her only album that she ever put out. And that was what, 1989? It was so long ago. And maybe that was an Easter egg. But
his face, he looked adorably starstruck the entire time. Like he was not looking at the audience at all. He just stared at Tracy Chapman, and they took turns singing back and forth. And whenever he like took a pause, he would like sing along with the music. It was like so cute. Like he knows the song up and down, not just because he sings it, but because he's always sang it. And he just kept being like, you could tell he was just like, holy crap, I'm on stage with Tracy Chapman. Like, the, how is this happening? How, what am I? I remember when we were driving in your car. Streets of Mass, I felt like I was gone. City lights lay out before. Mountain lights down around my shoulder. It was just so pure. It was just so honorable. And Tracy Chapman just looked really, just like humble. Like the whole thing was just a delight.
And then of course, Rachel, and I'm assuming you would bring this up if I didn't, but Joni Mitchell was one of the most iconic Grammy moments I've ever witnessed in my life. And introduced and sang with your favorite, Brandi Carlile, alongside our mutual favorite, Lucius. I mean, a moment.
I know. I've looked at clouds that way. But now they only block the sun. They rain and they snow on everyone. So many things. Joni Mitchell is just such a powerhouse. And I was like, to have that evening with so many great songwriters. I mean, I know that's the point. It's the Grammys. But sometimes I think there were so many years that the Grammys was just like this like embellished, like overdone concert. And maybe it was just the kind of music writing that was happening then. Like it's everything just kind of felt pumped through and not like, and maybe that's just because I didn't follow it and I didn't know how to really like get into songwriters themselves. But I just felt like there was a really good celebration of the craft of songwriting last night. And I really appreciated that. And Joni Mitchell is one of those. And Brandi Carlile talked about that. I've followed Brandi for a while and her progression of learning about Joni Mitchell and her story is just so neat. And that was another artist that like on stage, Joni has almost like, I'm sorry, Brandi has like, Joni is like a mother to her almost. Like, and you can watch the way that she looks at her like with reverence, but also like pride. Like she knew that what Joni Mitchell was doing was probably hard for her. I mean, she's had some struggles health-wise, and to be on stage for her very first Grammy performance ever, singing a song. I mean, not to mention that song is one of the most incredible songs. I mean, that's a stunning song. We'll have to break it down sometime. We'll choose it as a non-Taylor Swift song to really like analyze. That was a beautiful performance. I loved it. And then we got Billy Joel. How about Billy Joel with talk about new shit? Sam, he has a new song that like just came out this week and he performed it. And the song was all about, I kept thinking of Taylor, Sam, because he was just this iconic songwriter, singer-songwriter for so many years. And then he just stopped. And this is the story that they were telling. And he just kind of got over it. And he was just like, he always struggled with songwriting. It was really hard for him. And it, like, talk about torture poet. Like, I think that's what we were getting from his vibes. He was like, I was a tortured writer. I just didn't want to do it anymore. And he stopped writing songs. And then he met this super young guy who was just like one of his, like Billy Joel was his idol. He thought it was just going to be a 10-minute conversation to meet him and just like say, hey, you're really awesome. And they ended up like sparking a friendship that lasted years or months that really became a catalyst for Billy Joel to realize like, wait, maybe I got some more in me. Maybe I can come back to this. And to have a return to that world, and his song is about, hey, it, you know, can I come back? Is there space for me? Will you have me? It was just really like, talk about humble. It was just like a humbling, honest song about that. I'm sure something. And I just kept thinking like, would this be Taylor Swift someday? Because she's certainly not on a trajectory to slow down at all anytime soon. But one day she will. One day she'll slow down and she's going to be a Joni sitting in her throne singing her music. And we're all going to be crying our eyes out.
I hope so. And I hope to be watching that Grammys live in the audience when she does.
Yeah.
Speaking of Taylor Swift, Rachel.
Yes,
there is one other major iconic moment that happened at the Grammys, and I've kind of hinted at this when we've talked in recent episodes that I didn't necessarily expect Taylor to win Album of the Year, and don't call me a bad Swiftie. I just am so like in awe by all of the nominees for Album of the Year, and I didn't think that the Grammys would necessarily select Midnights simply because of like the other icons that were there, but of course they selected Midnight as the Album of the Year. Of course she won. Why didn't I see that coming? And Rachel, she made history. She was the first person in the history of the Grammys to win that award, which is the most prestigious award at the entire ceremony. It's the last one. She's the first one to win it. Four times. Can you believe we've got Fearless, 1989, Folklore, and now Midnights. Midnights, the album that I have never considered to be my favorite album, is actually Album of the Year. And it makes perfect sense now that I think about it. I just didn't think it would actually happen. But it was so deserving.
Yeah, that was such... I didn't see it coming either. You know, I don't know if we're just like humble Swifties or we're just kind of like, wow, other people like her too. I don't know. That's just like seems to be my MO all the time. Like, wow, you like her too. I still can't get over her speech because it was just you already talked about it a little bit, but that she said, you know, that she's just like happiest when she's making music. But she made this comment that like the way that she felt up there on stage winning that award, this exact same thing she feels when she finishes a song, the exact same way that she feels when she figures out a bridge that she's been trying to do, the exact same feeling that she feels when she's rehearsing with her dancers. And I just, I really valued that message to speak. And I think that's something that I'm hoping like artists and musicians do feel that way. I as an artist feel that way, that like I recognize the winning doesn't always feel, there's a high that happens in the success. We just talked about it in Getaway Car, in that moment when she nailed the bridge with Jack Antonoff. Like that's a high that's very comes from the same place as being on stage and being handed a you know, a clunky award.
Oh, it's not only a high for her, it's a victory, which is akin to winning an award is a victory. Yes. And it's when she gets those moments, she considers that she has won.
That is
whether she won that song or she won that album. Like, it's a victory for her. Yeah. And
she said this line, the award is the work. Like, she's already won. Mm. Right, like you said, like the award is doing the work and putting in the work. Mm-hmm. And that's good.
The only thing I wish had happened, well, there are two things I wish had happened differently. Okay. Number one, and I've seen the internet talking about this too, but I noticed this right away that she forgot to hug Celine Dion, who was presenting that award. And I think she was just overwhelmed and confused, but she kind of just like grabs the Grammy and forgets to like
acknowledge
Celine or hug Celine. And that's like, I mean, I think that was probably just an accident on her part because nobody just like snubs Celine Dion.
No, you don't.
But I saw that and I was like, Taylor. But then the other thing I wish it had happened differently is that she had announced this new album during that moment.
Yeah.
But of course she didn't know she was going to win Album of the Year. But in retrospect, I wonder if she also thinks like, what if I'd actually saved that announcement for that iconic, you know, moment?
Okay, this is... Maybe this is a good time to say this. And I think I've been feeling so many emotions. I was so excited about the announcement, but I also felt weird and awkward about it because
I totally felt the same.
It was like a somebody, a kid, I saw somebody write, like, it's kind of like proposing at somebody else's wedding. I don't know if that's quite the right vibe, but it did kind of feel that way. Like I'm gonna let you finish, but by the way, I have an album. Mm-hmm. Like, she had the stage. Like, she could say whatever she wants. There's no rules about what you can say.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's the most important to recognize. And like, Taylor Swift and only Taylor Swift, well, probably Beyonce too, can do something like that and pull that off because of the icon that she is. And how respected and how much her fandom just loves her. But to do it on that stage in the live, you know, streaming of it all felt weird because I wondered if it was different in the actual venue when you could like feel the energy and hear the screams.
Yeah.
But I think like always only her microphone was being picked up. So you heard like a couple of exciting noises and screams in the background. But it felt almost lackluster.
Yeah, like it fell on a crowd that was like, dude, come on, girl. Like, we're sick of you. Seriously.
Yeah, I didn't
like
that.
It's like,
I know,
I haven't
heard of anybody
clown.
Talk about this yet, so I'm glad we're talking about
like,
this.
Like, it's like the class, teacher's pet. Like, oh, of course you're doing another album. Like, can you ever just sit down, like, get settle down, kiss up or something? I don't know.
I mean, I get why there is a feeling that people are exhausted of seeing Taylor Swift because she is just so everywhere and she just doesn't stop. I get why people are exhausted, but I said earlier, I'm exhausted, but I not in the sense that I don't want more.
I know.
Maybe that was the vibe. I don't know. But she pulled it off. And, you know, we are so thankful for it.
We're thankful.
So that was the Grammys.
Wow.
That's our talk on the Grammys.
That
was a lot.
That's a lot. And I think part of the reason that we're so exhausted is that we know it's not over. Like, we don't have... I said this in our text chain, I don't want to be like an ungrateful little kid, but like, when are we going to get Reputation? Like, I still want that. Like, hey, thanks for an album.
I haven't said this yet, but I am actually so relieved that we don't have Reputation.
Really?
I've mentioned this. Like,
you've been so
it's my
nervous.
Favorite, most... I've been nervous in the sense that like, I just am anticipating it so much, but I just want to prolong it. I want it to have its moment and not to feel forced and rushed. And so I'm really glad that we've got something else coming in between. So we think.
What if
tomorrow Reputation Taylor's version comes out? We don't know. But at least for now, I'm glad that we can at least like calm down a little bit on the Reputation.
Okay.
And
you're like, okay, so the thing
really
that we were waiting for has arrived-ish. Like, so there won't be any more clowning, and we're just going to do like a normal rollout, and it's fine. Is that what you think? You think that's what Taylor's going to give
so
us?
So much clowning.
I mean, we don't even have the Super Bowl yet. I mean, oh my gosh. If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, there's nothing more iconic than Album of the Year and Super Bowl and the world of music and sports. And like, for that power couple to hold both titles within a week apart is insane.
This week is an incredible week. For the world, Rachel, for the world in which we live, in the world in which we share with Taylor Allison Swift.
How is it even possible?
I don't know. We haven't even talked about Tokyo, but let's save that for the next discussion, which we're going to have. I mean,
Tokyo hasn't happened yet, so we need to.
No, it's not. So.
We're not talking about future things anymore. We're only talking about current events.
Let's say goodbye for now on this Grammys talk. Thank you for tuning in.
I think we wrapped it up.
So much fun. I think we've wrapped it up and more to come. So tune in. Thanks, guys.